WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome to Monday Night Talk, and we are going to have a... We were having fun before the mics went live. And I predict that they're going to be, it's just going to be just as much fun. Ben, I want to thank you. Before we get started, Ben, of course, doing some work for the Animal Protection Center, Southeastern Mass, this past weekend. Congrats to you, sir.
Thank you kindly, and thank you for putting me in touch with those fine folks. It was a great time.
I want to tell you is that that we took a vote in here, and we saw it as like what we got going on here, like Charlie's Angels. I'm Charlie, of course. And we got two angels. We need a third angel. We picked Joe.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
You got it. Just gonna have to do something with the hair, though, because we already have a brunette.
As long as I get a theme song, I'm good.
Okay,
we'll work on head.
Yeah. So,
right.
Of course, that voice you're hearing is State Representative Kathy Lanatra. Also, for one more month. It's two more.
Two more meetings.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Only two more meetings, so less than a month. Well, no, a little less than a month.
Yeah. All right, Kate, decide. This is only a two-hour show.
Less than a month.
Okay.
Two more meetings.
Less than a month, she'll be a Kingston select woman.
Correct.
Right? Vice chair. Okay. And, of course, Tammy Murray is here, who also wears many hats. She'll do a segment as well, and she's the director of... I switch it around. Early, I was saying Director of Community Services and Elder Affairs.
Yep, that's the way to say
it. Okay. She's going to be here doing a segment, and both of them have agreed to be co-hosts.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We have. Very excited.
Fantastic. And I think one of you you're actually on vacation.
I am on vacation.
And the other one is a little under the weather, but felt a need to be here.
I did feel a need to be here.
This is fantastic. This really
is. It's going to be great.
Now, you actually participated in the Plymouth the Rotary auction.
I did yesterday. I was so excited to do it.
What time? I missed it.
I'm sorry. I had events and I couldn't get there till 2. I was there at 2 and only had an hour slot. Stayed till 4, but we had a little episode with the phones. The phones were hacked, unfortunately, so I didn't actually get
that?
To auction. I don't know who would do that. But they do such great things. You know, the Rotary does such amazing things. But I did have a little interview with Representative Matt Muratori.
Wow.
Which was a little shtick we did, and that was what I did.
He treated you right?
He did. He's okay. A great guy. He's a great guy.
Oddly enough, I actually was, I texted with him, and I was texting with Rob Hackler, who was also
I was there when he was there as well.
I actually bid on something. I actually swooped in because it was, I think, $1 over. And I go, it was $1 under. It was like $19. It was $20. And I bid. I actually bid $6. And I get the overbid. And do you want to guess what I got?
I'm just going to guess. What's that Italian restaurant? Oh, potpourri?
No.
I thought that was a little hint.
No, and you're not supposed to say I'm giving you a hint.
I bet you got some glass cleaner.
Yes, that's exactly what
Tiny
that's
and
right. I saw that, actually.
I did see that.
Can I say the one thing that I found really, really, really funny? So there were other great organizations that gave, like if you did an overbid, they were like Chuck's Bucks. They had the great glass cleaner, which I love.
Oh, I love that glass
cleaner. Peter gives me glass cleaner all the time. It's just more of a bonus. I was just happy to help out the Rotary. But there were a couple of things up for health centers. Like, you know, $300, $400, $500 for this health center you go and work out. And if you did an overbid, you want to take a wild guess what one of them was.
Olive Garden.
Close. Oh. Very close. You get like the
$10.
That'd be worth it. Wendy's. It was like $10. Wendy's. You get $10 in gift certificates for Wendy's. Like, that doesn't work.
Doesn't work together at all. No.
Maybe you had like the stretch strings or something. Maybe go purchase those. But
little
Wendy's. And I think it was either Matt or Michelle Pecoraro who actually kind of joked, well, you know, after you work out, you can go to Wendy's. I'm like, I don't think that's kind of the point.
Not the point, no.
I really don't think that.
As a former personal trainer, that is not the point.
Okay, so now, I believe that, are we pulling into the WHD Traffic Center? Okay, so we are. Would one of you ladies like to read this bold billboard? Like I did last week. I actually made the representative do it last week. So if you will, of course, we have Lisa who's waiting for us. But prior to that, this end is being sponsored by
Brennan Smoke Shop. Online at BrennanSmokeShopMA.com with locations in Plymouth, in Pembroke, Brockton, Wareham, Raynham, Taunton, Stoughton, and now in Hope's Island, New Bedford.
Wow, that was money. And of course, Lisa DeMille is waiting for us. Lisa, how are you?
Well, great, Kevin. How are you? She did a wonderful job. Kathy did great.
But I got to ask you one quick question. Do you have blonde hair?
I have blonde highlights.
She could be the third angel.
Here we go.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Sorry, Ben. What's going on out on the roadways?
Well, Kevin, the expressway southbound is anything but express. It's crawling from the tunnel to South Bay and again down past the gas tank. Then you're back in it a third time from Furnaceburg to the Splits. So it's really getting filled in there. Northbound's just slow approaching the tunnel. Route 3 south is backed up a bit coming off the expressway. And the northbound side of Route 3 is looking pretty good. The Bourne and Sagamore bridges are moving along, as are routes 24 and 44. This report is sponsored by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Drunk driving is 100% preventable 100% of the time. Help them create a future of no more victims at MADD.org. That's MADD.org. Traffic on the nines every morning. I'm Lisa DeMille in the WATD Traffic Center.
Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9watd.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If you want, I know that you want to do something. Why don't we, I usually like hearing Jeffrey right about now. Would you mind playing
same
me?
Same here. I guess the program is set otherwise, but let's definitely do that for
Jeffrey.
It's
about enhancements. Yeah. Play that for me.
Chef Jeff from Brennan Smoke Shop. Are you looking forward to sharing your corned beef this St. Paddy's Day? But find your meat and potatoes be suffering? Well, I got good news for you. There is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Brennan Smoke Shop sells the market's leading male and female herbal enhancement products. For the low price of just $9.99, you can have award-winning corned beef and cabbage in just 15 to 30 minutes. Brennan Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
I have to say, Ben, this is last week. It was me, as you saw. I kind of blew right past our traffic stop. And, of course, Representative Muratori was like, aren't you supposed to be doing traffic right about now? and of course, so this week, it was your turn to make a mess.
I'll take all of it on that one.
It's definitely all good. And if you will, you know what? I promised the representative that I would play Representative Muratori. Would you play me a little that one clip of him as he was talking up, I think it was a camp.
Old Colony YMCA, Camp Clark. It's been there for a number of years. It's four boys and girls, ages 6 to 15. 375, looking for 395. We are going to get ready to call this, so call right in. We've got a 15-second delay, so if you want it, call in now. 375, my guess is 395 may take this. So if you want to call in now and steal this, it's still a great value.
This is an adult coming in.
375 to 395.
They want to pay off the national debt.
Yeah. 375 to 395. We're looking for 395 now.
We don't have real calls.
Going once. Going twice.
Twice. Sold.
Oh, my God. I will tell you who was really good, because I paid attention. I see you had Jeff from One Stop Painting. He did it. Mm-hmm. Michelle did a great job.
Michelle did a great job.
She did a great job. Actually, I actually purchased something on the tail end of her last board B12, prior to Rob Hackler coming on board. I got a steakhouse.
Oh, great.
Rio's?
Oh, I saw that. Yes, Rio's. It was Rio's Steakhouse.
We were just
really
at Rio's in Plymouth.
Do tell.
Yes. Excellent. Oh, let me tell you.
I can go spend this. So
my second son, Nicholas, went into the service a few weeks ago. He's
awesome.
In boot camp now at Fort Benning. Yes, miss him terribly.
Oh.
But as his send-off, he wanted to go to Rio Steakhouse, and there was about 25 of us. And can I tell you, they couldn't have been nicer, more attentive. It was a wonderful, wonderful meal.
What'd you get?
Well, have you been? Oh, you've never
been. You've never been.
No,
it's a huge buffet of...
my mouth's watering, but I need a reason.
Yeah, it's big.
Huge buffet of all sorts of salads, vegetables, and I think there's some meat dishes in there, but they walk around with meat on a stick and cut it onto your plate, and there's this little coaster, so it's green is, yes, I want more meat, and turn it over and stop, and red,
meat.
I don't want any more.
Both of you been to Disney?
Yes.
No.
Oh,
no.
What? Oh, shit.
But I've been to the steakhouse.
Okay, all right, all right, all right. All right. The Polynesian? You ever been to the Polynesian?
I have been to the Polynesian.
So they walk around with meat on a stick. When you said that, first thing I said.
Sometimes I want the whole piece, though. They give you, like, two slices of, like, I don't know, garlic steak or something. And I'm like, dude, I want the rest of that. But they can't give you the rest of that.
Why not?
They'll come back.
They do come back. There's some interesting meats, too.
There are. It's good. I ate pineapple there. I don't like pineapple.
Oh, the pineapple.
But you ate the pineapple.
I did. It's grilled. Hmm. It's yummy.
Ben wants to weigh
Ben's
it.
Nodding.
Ben,
I have absolutely been to the steakhouse, and let me just say, if you remember what you had there, you didn't do it right.
That is true.
Yes, good point.
What, did you have to like consume some alcoholic beverages
You
first?
Don't even need the alcoholic beverages. Those are a huge plus, don't get me wrong. But I mean, if you don't find the full tank meter switch in your body, then again, you're not doing it right.
Right.
You just it's too, it is too
like
delicious not to cover.
It is a guy's restaurant.
It is a guy thing.
You'll see when
I
you
mean,
get
I
there,
love
buddy.
It as well.
Huh, okay. Well, it's good to know.
Now, good stuff.
I was actually teasing the fact that Rob did an excellent job. Now, here's how I thought there was this really, he was good with how he was talking it up. I mean, he's a radio guy. Of course, you know, Rob Ackler from the South Shore Morning News. If you will, could you play the cut? This was, he was trying to sell off a winged back chair, and he really got it going. Go ahead.
35? Okay, 35, looking for 40. 35, looking for 40. This is an antique caned winged back chair donated by a friend of the Rotary. Okay, here we go now. We're cooking. 40, looking for 45. 40, looking for 45, looking for 50. 45, looking for 50. Do I hear 50? 50.
50.
50. 50. Do I hear 55? 50. Do I hear 55? It's a $240 antique cane. We're at 55, looking for 60. 55, looking for 60. Here we go. A great deal. There's a lot of people out there. Yeah, this would be great. $60, looking for 65. 60, looking for 65. Do I hear 65? Do I hear? I hear... Okay, we're at 70. Okay, I'm just getting in. 80? Okay, 80. Looking for 85. 80. Do I hear 85 for the antique caned wingback chair? It's a $240 value. 90. 90 for this, again, this caned wingback chair, circa 1850 to 1900. And again, 100 bucks? Do I hear 100 bucks? Okay, 100. Looking for 105. 100, looking for 105 for a $240 value for the antique caned wingback chair donated by a friend of the Rotary. This is a great value. And again, still good for a gift as well if you're looking for someone. 100 bucks for a chair that's worth twice as much, $240. Antique wingback chair donated by a friend of the Rotary. This would be a beautiful chair to have in anyone's sitting room. You could have tea. Going once? Going twice? Sold for 100 bucks for that antique caned wingback chair.
Now, I got to make an admission here. I nearly called and bought the damn thing because he was so good. He was so good.
When he was auctioning, he was working it. He was working it. He was sweating up a storm. He was really working it.
Matt had made a comment that he was one of the ones when you talk about overbids, because you guys were all competing for overbids, right?
Yes.
Like, who can get the most overbids? And Rob was really doing it. He was good.
He was good.
You know, I can see him doing that, like doing Storage Wars or something.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
He's good on the fly.
Yeah. So, we're here talking with Representative Kathy Lenatra. Of course, Tammy Murray is here as well. And this is your segment, and we like ate right into it. I'm sorry.
Oh, that is okay.
I'm sorry. But then again, you're kind of staying for the, song,
I can
for the
stay
whole
longer,
show.
So. Which is great. Which is great. My husband is not home. He's at Candidates Night in Kingston. Mm-hmm. And my daughter's at gymnastics, and Jack's doing homework, so I'm free.
So it's that time of year.
It's that it time is. Of year. Mm. Yes.
New. So how many seats are open on the Kingston Board of Selectmen?
There are two seats open, and there are, how many, Tim? There's, so my seat is open, which is only a year term, and I believe there's three.
There are three.
Running for that. And then Elaine Fiore's seat is up, so she's running as well against another former selectwoman.
Wow. Yeah, I believe that will bring that. I think we usually bring that from... Where's that done? Don't they have the political
this
forms
year
that
we usually do it from the townhouse, but this year they're doing it from the where is it? It's, well, the KBA is hosting this one. Oh. Kingston Business Association. I believe it's at the Hilltop, maybe?
Yes. That's tonight. The that's one you're tonight. Talking about is the Democratic Committee that holds it at the townhouse.
Oh, okay. Correct. Hold on. Well, then the newsroom is entering the fray.
Oh, we are doing it from the townhouse on April 11th.
Thank you, Chris.
There you go.
Thank you.
Those are the other people doing it tonight. Sorry.
That's live from the newsroom. Christine James, managing news editor. All right, so we've got clarification here. This is good. I saw you were having a little bit of fun at the Plymouth County Democratic League. Like a little gathering.
Was this on Saturday night? Was that Saturday night?
It might have been.
It might have been. I had a great time. We had our St. Patrick's Day dinner. I guess it's an annual St. Patrick's Day dinner. But this year, it's called the Dot Landry St. Patrick's Day dinner. Hmm. And she was a fixture for the Plymouth Democratic Committee. She lived in Halifax, did a great deal of work for the candidates. I, unfortunately, had never met her, but I've heard wonderful things about her. But this year... We honored two very special women that are actually teachers in Kingston, Stacia Levitt and Mary Pat Dodge. And I was fortunate enough to actually hand them their awards and give citations. I get to give citations now, along with who else was there? Jeez, there were so many people there. Rep Kearney was there. Tom O'Brien was there. There were many officials there. Jim Cantwell was there. I haven't seen Jim Cantwell in a while, so it was nice to see him. It was a packed house.
I saw that. I saw pictures.
Corned beef and cabbage, which was nice. I had to buy a green dress because I had nothing green. With the last name Linatra, it's kind of... I was told I had to give an Irish joke, too. I'm like, ooh. But I didn't, which was good.
Google is your friend.
Mm-hmm. I was Googling on the ride there when I was told that. Okay. So, but some of them are a little...
Yeah, a little risque.
A little risque for me to tell. Mm. So I got out of that. I did sing a song at the end with Senator Brady and Jim Cantwell.
Mike Brady get you to sing?
Do you
like backing vocals?
I was backup.
Can you see her backing vocals? Do you see her being a lead?
Absolutely.
I can't really sing. I would if I could sing. Oh.
Can I tell you the truth? I can't either.
No, I can't at all.
That's why I make sure.
Tammy's a great singer.
Like, if I go to a concert, I'm going to sing. I stand next to the person who's, like, singing the loudest.
So no one hears you.
So nobody hears me.
That's awesome.
Nobody
wants
to hear
me.
Paid all this money to see a great concert. Who wants to hear me? Unless I had a little bit, too much of the spirits then.
Too much of the spirits.
Then it's okay. But you're doing well up on the Hill.
I'm doing well. I'm very busy, which I love. Very busy. I got my committee assignments, which has been fantastic. Mm-hmm. And did I share with you, Tammy?
I saw them in the paper,
you
I think,
did.
But I'd love to hear it again.
Now is the time.
Now is the time to tell you. I had two top that I really wanted, which was economic development and elder affairs. And I did receive both of them. So economic development. And the chairwoman is Anne Magra Ferrante from Gloucester, who is just turned into such a mentor for me. So I was really pleased with that. Elder affairs, if everybody knows that seniors, well, we call them older people now, are my bailiwick. I just do so much with seniors or older people and have for many, many years. So I was really, really pleased to have that. I'm also on election laws, which is going to be so fascinating this time around. I'm looking forward to that. And the last is a House committee. It is technology and intergovernmental affairs, which I really wasn't sure what that was when I saw it on paper, but now we've had a meet and greet, and it's going to be fascinating. So we're looking into like cyber hacking and all that type of thing, cyber trafficking. There'll be a lot of different things with that. So I'm looking forward to it. Economic development, we're going to have gaming. We're going to look into gaming.
Really?
So sports gaming, so that will be.
great, something to really get into.
What's the thought? I mean, what's your thought in regards to the gaming the way it is and adding the sports element to it? What's your thought? I mean, now you're on that committee.
I am on the committee. I'm dying to hear testimony and hear other people's views. But we're always speaking about taxes. Everyone's taxes are going up. We're schooled. You know, we're our funds in school are Chapter 70. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways that we can combat that is for revenue. And this is one of those ways to get revenue in. We have a lot of towns have voted for marijuana. Kingston's one of them. We deal with that in our selectmen's meetings. And other towns in my district have too. And there's some zoning issues there, but it's also a source of revenue. At the House, I've met representatives that have towns that have already, Leicester, I think, is the first one. And it's Representative LaBeouf. And he's a really great representative. And they have had so much revenue into their towns. So, you know, these are some of the things that can combat our shortfalls in our economic, in our educational budget, and in our taxes, just our town real estate taxes alone. So we'll see what that brings.
Sorry, we're passing notes here.
That's okay. Like we're in school.
But it kind of is.
It is. It's bad. We're trouble. I did have a question, and it was something that fascinated me when I first learned when you won, and I was listening to, I don't know if it was you or somebody else who had won as well, but about the bullpen and how you were all in one big room. Do you have an office yet, or does that take time to get
I
an office?
I do not have an office yet. I am still in the bullpen. So we're like at 65 days now that I've been in the bullpen. So just to explain what the bullpen is, we're actually in a hearing room, so it's B1 that I'm in. There's two, because there were 25 elected, new elected, so it's a very large class. So we split up, because our legislative aides are also with us, so I'm in an office or a hearing room with 26 other people, 25 other people, me being 26. And it's like you're looking, so you bring up the Rotary auction. It's like you're looking at the auction table where people are answering the phones. That's us with our computers.
Wow.
And, you know, there's positives and there's negatives. The positive, it's a great camaraderie. You get to hear about the rest of the Commonwealth and what their issues are. But, you know, there's negatives too. When you're on the phone, the other person next to you is on the phone. And, you know, with the flu season, it's kind of like a little petri dish, because I'm rarely sick. I have to say I'm rarely sick, but I've been sick a couple times this year. But I'll be sad to go in a way, but I'm really looking forward to having our own space where we can get organized, our files can be organized, we're not shoving everything underneath that desk, we're not tripping over each other's feet, we're not tripping over wires, but I will miss being able to bounce things off someone, just turning around and bouncing it off them. Now I just have to go out the office door and down the hall. We'll see where we'll be. I'll probably still be in the basement. My office will be in the basement.
Do you find yourself connecting well with some of the folks who are in the bullpen? Or are there other legislators from the South Shore that you find yourself spending more time with up on Beacon Hill?
I think as a class, we do. I think I've mentioned this before. I'm like the elder. I'm one of the oldest ones, which is unusual in the
we like to call
arena.
Them older people.
Yes,
now.
Yes, thank you. I'm one of the older people now. I have Rep. Kearney from Scituate, I believe, just turned 24. So we sit next to each other.
My God.
I know. My oldest son is 25.
I was going to say, it's my middle child is a little bit older than
I know.
This.
So it's interesting, but they all bring different perspectives and
sure.
different energies, a lot of great energy, a lot of energy, which is nice to see. There are certain ones I tend to, you know, go more to people that have my more moderate, you know, moderate views that I hang out with and will bounce ideas off of, and they'll bounce ideas off me. But I love to hear everyone's ideas because it makes me think out of the box, and that's mm-hmm. what I'm there to do, right? Serve my constituents and think out of the box and ways to improve the 12 Plymouth District.
What's it been like getting around the district? And we had that was kind of the conversation during the forums. It's so widespread. What's
it's
it been like?
It's a widespread district. So Middleborough, we go all the way out to Middleborough, and we have Duxbury as well. I have constituent hours once a month in each of those towns. I do the COA in Kingston. I do the library in Plimpton, which is a lovely spot. I always spend at least a couple more hours afterwards. It's just a lovely spot. We do Old Colony Elder Services in Plymouth. In Middleborough, we do their
COA as well. And in Halifax, I do the library in Halifax, another great spot. In Duxbury, the Senior Center in Duxbury, which is like the Taj Mahal. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
But it's been great. So I've got to once a month every single town. And people show up. It's great.
What are folks saying to you? What are your constituents saying to you at this early stage of your career? Any interesting asks in regards to anything or any ideas in regards to? Because, again, as soon as you got in, you were sworn in, you guys were already kind of on the fast track of any bills that you wanted to, that you might have authored or been a part of, that you had to submit and get in and start the process, anything like that?
It was fast and furious once we were sworn in, very fast and furious. I have mostly people coming out that haven't met me, that really wanted to know who I was, what I was about. I have some personal issues that they had concerning housing and license plates, actually. I mean, things that you wouldn't realize that your state rep can help you with. Housing was one of them. Some issues with elder services. This is before I knew my committee. And I'm able to help, which is fantastic. But we did, speaking fast and furious, we had to file bills. We had, like, a very short amount of time to file bills. I had some in mind that I wanted to file. I was able to file 8 bills.
Ooh.
I know. Isn't that impressive?
That seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot, but senior reps like that have been around for a while,
like file, 30
like
and
30
stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you go into the co-sponsoring. Now, being in the bullpen, when you enter the state house, no one can see my hands. We can tell I'm Italian. I'm talking with my hands. I'm sorry.
And I'm responding with my hands.
And you are responding with
your hands. We're slapping each other around in here.
When you come through security at the state house, that's my office right there. So you come through security and you can see the bullpen.
Boom.
So lobbyists are constantly going through there. During the co-sponsorship time period, there were approximately 150 people that walked through that office every day. It was constant, so it was hard to get work done. I would find myself sneaking up to the library quite often, where there's a little top level that's kind of private. I'd be there with my computer.
Very smart.
And leave Megan there, poor Megan. Leaving my legislative aide, Megan, there, she is the best.
Yeah.
She handles it really well. So there was a lot. I mean, you were up to midnight every night reading. You know, the 5,500 bills were filed. And all these asks of co-sponsoring the bills was very overwhelming. But I was fortunate. I have great mentors, and I read through as many as I could. And I actually co-sponsored 100 bills.
It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. And they're ones that I really feel passionate about, and I feel that people in my district do as well. And they reached out to me, and that was one of the, I can't know 5,500 bills. And the constituents would send me an email, call me on the phone, ask me to look into these bills, and I would look into them. And I wouldn't have known about these bills if it wasn't for the constituents calling or emailing me.
She would make a great guest for Exit 13, wouldn't she?
She definitely would make a great guest for Exit 13. That's my new television show.
Yeah, we're going to talk about
television show?
Yeah, she's a star.
Well, you know I grew up in Hanover, too.
Yes.
So we'll have to talk about that in a moment. Anything you want to say in closing to talk about how things are going up at the State House?
Things are great, but I would just like to emphasize, if you do have an issue or there is a bill that you're passionate about and you feel that I'm not sure that I know about it, or I'm not as passionate as you are, please reach out to me. You can call the State House, ask for the bullpen. They'll give you my number. They'll connect you to the bullpen. They'll connect you to Megan, or I answer the phone as well. You may get me.
Mm-hmm.
You can always email us, and it's very easy. It's kathleen.lenatra@mahouse.gov. or Megan, MEGHAN, .cleaves, CLEAVES, at mahouse.gov. And again, constituent hours that are posted everywhere, I will be in your town once a month at those places. So please feel free to reach out to me with any of your needs.
Do you want to sing us out to break?
Oh.
No.
I was thinking of something quickly. I was like,
it's
a ball game.
No.
Oh, because I'm looking at that right
now. See,
there.
I would have went with Itsy Bitsy Spider or something like that. State Representative Kathy Lenatra, during her segment, talking about some of the stuff that she's been working on. And we'll look forward to having you back in 4 or 5 weeks.
Just to catch up. More of an update then.
Awesome. All right. So, Ben, take us out. When we come back, we're going to find out a little bit about a new TV show called Exit 13. That's right. Coming at you up in a few moments here on Monday Night Talk. Woo! Woo! Woo!
is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
When you visit McGuigan's Pub in Whitman, you're walking into a real Irish pub. McGuigan's charming ambiance is the perfect setting for celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Enjoy a Guinness on tap at the 54-foot mahogany bar or grab dinner in our dining area. McGuigan's menu offers everything from bangers and mashed, shepherd's pie to fish and chips. Coming soon, the patio at McGuigan's, al fresco dining in Whitman Center. McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street in Whitman. Sláinte.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons Glass, not Dr. Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons Glass. You see, when I was a kid, my dad took me to the doctors. For some reason, I don't remember. I do remember all those certificates, the diplomas, and all of them were written in Latin even. So one day I said, Dad, I'm going to be a doctor. Luckily for the general public, Dad said no. Tiny knows best. And now I do have an office, and the walls are loaded with certificates. All my Autoglass technicians are certified and qualified to do all your windshield repair and replacement. My dad would be very proud of us.
My boys do a good job. 1-888-64-TINIES. Just call.
My dad did a great job.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay. We're sitting here chatting and taking pictures. You are listening to Monday Night Talk. We just got done speaking with Representative Kathy Lenatra. She puts on her co-host hat, and we will grill Tammy Murray, who is the Director of Community Services and Elder Affairs in the great town of Hanover. And she's also a Kingston selectman.
Yes,
I mentioned that in the beginning.
It's true.
How's life treating you at the Hanover COA?
It's wonderful. Honestly, I couldn't be happier. A lot of great changes have happened for me since I went to Hanover, and I have a great staff. So a lot of what I do, I took from Kingston as far as being a COA director, but now with the community services department position, I have the visiting nurses, Parks and Rec, Veteran Services, the COA, and Hanover Community Television.
A lot of hats.
It's a lot of hats, and you should mention that I believe that one of the projects from Hanover TV actually won a Mass Creators Award on January 29th.
They did for
podcasts.
They did on podcasts. Yeah. They did an excellent podcast that followed Hanover High School seniors through their senior year in preparation for what was to come, and the superintendent was involved. The principals were involved. They had about 6 or 7 students that they would have speak to, you know, filling out applications and doing all the stuff and passing tests and, you know, meeting your attendance requirements. And they did. They won. Unfortunately, I couldn't attend. We had a meeting in Kingston that night, and I couldn't go to the award ceremony, but I got lots of pictures.
But it was up. It was actually, Hanover TV was up for it because the category had, they were 3 finalists. Mm-hmm. And two of the three were Hanover.
Two of the three.
I have a great staff.
Oh, yeah.
Great staff.
Yeah, Colleen does a great job.
Yeah, Colleen's wonderful.
Yep.
She really is.
Indeed. So it's worth mentioning. I just happened to, because I was, yeah.
Yeah.
I pay attention to those small things. Talk to us about the TV show.
So I had our first episode of Exit 13.
Why not Exit 14 or 15?
Well, because Hanover's Exit 13. We wanted something, you know, we didn't want to call it Route 53, so we figured Exit 13. Colleen and I collaborated on that title. And our first show has aired. It had to do with assessors' exclusions and things that they actually have a program in which the Tax Assistance Committee for the town of Hanover went to the Housing Trust, and the Housing Trust donated $50,000 to the seniors and veterans and anyone who actually qualifies for an exclusion on their taxes. So we raised the amounts that people could make before they got some help, and we raised the amount of help they're going to get. So it was really exciting to be a part of that, and as boring, and Lincoln will even say it, Lincoln Heineman was my guest, we were like, let's try and make this as exciting as possible. But, you know, we really got into it, and a half hour went by pretty quickly as far as we were concerned. I hope that's how the viewers saw it, too. But it was great to be in front of the camera again, because, of course, I had my show on PAC TV for a couple years, too.
Now, were you talking in generalities? Is this something that could be shared with other access centers?
It could be, actually. Well, some of it could be. Some of the exclusions are across the board, but this situation that Hanover did is not typical. I believe they may have been the first town in the state to do something like that.
But there's nothing that says that maybe another community might go,
absolutely.
That might be a good idea.
It's a great idea.
They follow suit.
Yep, it's a great idea because as far as I can see, a lot of the CPC funds that are raised for housing aren't being used right now, and they're being put into these trusts where some of that money could offset other people's taxes.
So,
sorry.
Go ahead, Kathy.
I have a question about that.
No, please, go.
So the CPC funds that comes out of the bucket for housing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is fascinating to me. Okay, sorry.
Now keep going.
No, that's just fascinating.
You have a follow-up
to me.
Question?
Something I'd like to talk to you, follow up with you.
Absolutely.
After the meeting.
You know what I find is an interesting dynamic, and I was going to say it during the last segment, knowing that you are on the committee for Elder Affairs, you have kind of an inside with... You both have kind of an inside,
yeah.
Right?
Yep, it's kind of awesome.
It is awesome. I was calling bingo when Tammy was working in Kingston.
Yep.
Really?
And delivering Meals on Wheels.
Yep.
That's
so I miss her.
I know. I miss you as well, but I see your parents sometimes.
Yes, my parents. They just came for taxes. My parents still reside in Hanover.
Oh. So how often are you going to be shooting this show?
I want to go for monthly right now. If I get really ambitious, it'll be twice a month. But it'll cover lots of different things. So this one was specific to taxes. We'll have the next show is going to have to do with our Parks and Rec department. And we have a department at the schools. It's called FACE. And it's after school activities and enrichment classes. And we're trying to join them. To be more of a partnership because people confuse the two anyway. So the next show will probably be on that, detailing how we're going to be improving the services in both of those departments.
Very cool. Now, are you just going one at a time, or do you already kind of like a wish list and you'll plot them out?
No, not yet. I really go one at a time.
Okay. Are you modeling this after the show that you did at PAC TV, or is this a different dynamic?
It's kind of a different dynamic. Originally, I was going to. The show on PAC TV they're still up on YouTube. That one was called Young at Heart. Had to do with services that are available to seniors, you know, being comfortable if you knew somebody who was being abused or, you know, physically or financially. It was opening up those kinds of doors and letting people know what was available. This is going to cross all of the departments. So it really could be about anything. I know we have a winter fest that happens, you know, around Christmas time or the holiday season. So I'll have those people on, show how it growed. So it's really going to expand to more of what's available to the entire community. But it will have a focus because that's my passion, the older adults.
What's your thought about, I mean, do you like the visual? Do you like the TV component?
I do. I feel like you reach a lot of people. I know, you know, PAC TV spans over more towns,
full
but I can't. Yeah, I can't explain how many times I get phone calls that are like, "We were flipping through the channels and I saw your show," or "I was on YouTube and I saw your show and that was really good. My mom's having knee surgery and now I know what can help her." So I felt when I was doing it that it really does reach a lot of people, and I've gotten a lot of responses already to Exit 13. So I know people watch it.
And plus, you're talking about it
and
on the
here
radio.
We are, right?
How the heck
so
did
now
that
they know
happen?
To watch it.
Yep.
Yes.
And just as a side note, and this is personal, and I did not ask you permission about this one, but I am also going to be in the play at the end of April as a fundraiser. So that should be interesting. I'm adding to what I do. So I have TV, radio, I'm going to be an actress.
Oh my gosh, isn't that called the trifecta? Is that
yeah,
what that's called?
I believe
triple
it
threat?
Is.
Well, you have the triple. Hold on.
Is that not it?
Hold on. Well, triple debt threat. You have to be able to act. You have to be able to sing.
She can sing.
And you need to dance. And air guitar
doesn't count.
No, I'm not really big on the air guitar. I like the drums, maybe the accordion.
Harmonica.
Harmonica, yeah.
Oh, my God, help me.
Triangle.
So wait a minute.
Cowbell.
Where are you? Where's the play?
The play is going to be in Duxbury. I believe it's at the Unitarian Church. It's a benefit for South Shore Women's Advocacy.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
What's the play about?
It's one that has been on Broadway.
Yeah, okay. That's probably half of the play.
I don't know if I can say it.
Oh, okay.
No,
all right.
I can't.
Oh, she can't? Okay.
I'm passing a note.
No. Oh, my.
I don't even know how to explain it, but let me tell you, it will be wonderful.
Okay. So
it's a woman's empowerment play.
Okay.
And how did you get involved in that?
Well, one night...
I was trying to steer the rudder the other way, but okay, I got it.
Actually, one night I was having dinner at one of my favorite places to go, and I am friendly with a woman who works for social advocacy, and she mentioned that they were looking for actresses, and I turned around and said, I've never done that. Let me give it a try. Then she told me what it was, and then I realized what I would have to do, but it's going to be great.
You know, I'm a big fan. I love the TV show Friends.
Yes.
And I believe that Chandler Bing got stuck at this particular show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's
so
awesome.
If you're a Friends fan out there, think of the show that he gets stuck at.
If not, Google it.
Yeah, Google it. There you go, Duxbury. I want to take a moment. I know that what's great about... our All Counts on Aging mm-hmm. is the different things that are offered for folks to go in, whether it's yoga, you want to go and you want to just kind of get together, hang out,
yep.
Meals on Wheels, and also different series with authors.
Yep. So our author series for the spring will be kicking off this Thursday, March 14th. And the first author is Kate Larson, who wrote about, it's actually called Rosemary, the Hidden Kennedy, which I recently watched a day of Kennedy family stories, and I was intrigued about Rosemary's story. So that will be, do you know her?
I'm intrigued as well. I was I was at the library at the State House, and that is one of the books that mm-hmm. they're highlighting this month, and I just ordered it on Amazon.
Oh, that's awesome. So she will be there on Thursday. Oh. You could have it signed.
Do they have it on audiobooks? I'm kind of a big audiobook guy.
Are you?
I'm sure they must.
I love audiobooks.
They must.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to be there on Thursday. I'm checking my calendar right now.
6:30 to 8. On March 21st, we have Ted Reinstein
yeah.
from Chronicle.
Yes.
He'll be talking about different places in New England, about general stores or towns or all these different things. And then on March 28th, we have Hanover's own John Gallagher, who I have all of his books now on my Kindle. Arsenic and Asinippe is one of them. He wrote one about a murder at the Four Corners in Broadway. He also wrote one about a murder in Halifax that I have not read yet. But he will be there. I'm really excited for that. I've been trying to get him for years. And finally, people listen to me, and we're going to have him.
Wow.
And didn't you, during the break, offer up an author for
I this? Did.
Oh, yes,
I did.
And he's one of my favorites. He doesn't know that. He might now.
So Representative Josh Cutler has written a book.
Yep.
And it is... I have it right here. Is it Mob Town Massacre? I don't want to say
it. It's Mob Town Massacre.
Mob Town Massacre.
You know what's going on here, while you were
and
saying
waiting
that?
To have it signed.
Are you?
So that was my...
Wait, he didn't sign your copy?
He doesn't even know you bought it. He does know because my husband posted it on Facebook.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And tagged him in it.
Well, tell him to expect a call.
Yes.
I might add, I'll give a plug to another radio show. I believe that Josh was on Friday with South Shore Morning News, and he was promoting. And of course, he'll be here on Monday Night Talk. He'll talk about it as well. But I also do a cable show with him.
Yep.
And part of the cable show was kind of dedicated. We talked about the book and the origin and sitting down and writing. Of course,
it's fascinating.
I mean, and the individual who is at the center of it is the reason why we have a Hanson, Massachusetts.
Right. Right.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool.
It's very cool.
I'll have to get it. Is it out now?
It is out now.
It is, yes.
Excellent. Put it on my list.
Put that on your list. If folks want to find out more about what's going on at the Hanover Council on Aging, which I think is located at, is it 665 or 655?
665.
665.
Center Street.
Center Street,
yep.
Yes.
In Hanover. They can call at 781-924-1913. We have a Facebook page that's called the Hanover Mass Council on Aging. We're on the website, so...
Anything we haven't touched upon in regards to the COA? Maybe we should delve into how things are going on the Board of Selectmen.
Yeah, let's do that.
You had a couple of months. Although our next guest is waiting. how are things going? Are you going to miss Kathy?
I'm going to miss Kathy terribly because she reads the longest hearing notices and things like that. Otherwise, I have to read it, so I'm getting used to reading them. And
are you the clerk?
I'm not the clerk.
If there's
a motion that tends to be lengthy,
wordy, yeah.
A couple pages, I can be speedy.
Yeah, she reads really well, so I'm practicing that. I think overall it's going really well. I think we all bring something different to the board, and I think there's been a lot more discussion between us when we are discussing a topic, a little more back and forth, more questions on air, so to speak.
That's
so
important.
I think it is, for not just transparency, which everyone throws that word around, but for clarity. So I know if I'm reading something and I have a question and I'm in the know, people who aren't in the know must have seven questions. So I do try and drag out a lot of the conversations.
The clarity is very important because you can read something several different ways. So that's what I love about our board. Especially Tammy will ask something and then I won't understand what she's asking, so I'll counteract something else. But it seems with all that discussion, we do tend to come to a consensus most of the time.
It's true.
Which is great. And we all deeply respect each other. Even though we may have different views on things, we do really respect each other. But I do love that everybody ask questions on the board.
Absolutely. And I remember, just as a funny memory, was right after we got elected, we had to jump into town meeting last year, and Sandy had turned to me during one of the votes, and she mentioned that she was voting differently than I was, and I said, and that's okay. And she kind of looked at me funny for a second, because that's okay.
It's okay.
You know,
okay.
So it's I like it. It's fun.
Glad we got that, that update. That's the first hour of Monday Night Talk. The time flew.
It did.
Next hour is going to be just as fun and exciting. At least I think so. Later in the second hour, of course, Dave Russo, comedian. Chat with Dave. Dave's a very funny guy. A lot of life experiences. Not only being on stage, but he also does Dirty Water TV. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, he is very funny. But we're going to also speak with Dr. John Huber. Now, we're all parents here, the three of us.
Yes.
And so some of the things that are going on social media, while some of our children are a little bit older, I just got one that's just joined the military herself. I'm kind of glad, but I kind of look at the stuff that goes on, whether it's eating Tide Pods or seeing a gory face and going, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
These are things that I think as parents, the three of us can kind of talk about with our next guest. So let's step aside. And when we come back, I promise you, me and Tammy and Kathy will be giving you more Monday Night Talk here at 95.9 WATD.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton, and translator W247 CB Brockton.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
When you visit McGuigan's Pub in Whitman, you're walking into a real Irish pub. McGuigan's charming ambiance is the perfect setting for celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Enjoy a Guinness on tap at the 54-foot mahogany bar or grab dinner in our dining area. McGuigan's menu offers everything from bangers and mashed, shepherd's pie to fish and chips. Coming soon, the patio at McGuigan's, al fresco dining in Whitman Center. McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street in Whitman. Sláinte.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back. And hey, just it's a quick note, knowing that we won't be on the air. you know, next Sunday. I cannot believe it's St. Patrick's Day. And, of course, our great sponsor, McGuigan's Pub. If you get a chance, stop on by McGuigan's Pub. Not only is it a fantastic eatery, but, again, St. Patrick's Day. They will have all kinds of great entertainment and food. I've been assured that the corned beef and cabbage will be flowing as of Friday night, right through the weekend. They've stocked up, and we'll have plenty of Guinness on tap. So please stop by. Say hello to Richard and Danielle if you have a chance. Yes, I know Ben will when he gets a moment to go by there.
Better believe it. Drive by at least twice a week.
All right. Don't do a Joe Rossi. He's like, I go by there, and nobody ever saw him there.
I said
don't
I went
do
by.
Do the ghost stuff.
I'll make better habit to stop, absolutely. But right. I do drive by.
Okay. Just want to
make
sure.
It is a great place. I've been there a couple times.
It is. Isn't it awesome?
Yeah, it is.
It is awesome. Well, so our next guest is a gentleman. We have had Dr. John Huber on previously, who is the chairman of the Mainstream Mental Health a nonprofit organization that brings lasting and positive change to the lives of individuals that suffer from mental health issues. He is a professional with over 20 years experience and is a clinical forensic psychologist. Dr. Huber, welcome back to Monday Night Talk, sir.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, and just so you know, is that I'm not alone. I have two great co-hosts who are joining me, and I think it's worth noting that the three of us are parents, so the conversation we're going to have tonight in regards to not just the Momo challenge, but also, you know, the dangers of social media with our younger generation, I think it's going to, I think, help lend a hand to having a good conversation while we have you on the phone.
Absolutely. I'm ready for that. That's great. I'm a parent myself, so yeah.
Well,
let's do it.
So talk to me about this. I mean, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about this other than this is something that's being sent around on social media. How true is this, that this is actually a challenge that's happening?
Well, you know, and it's interesting because people have questioned that. It actually came around during the summer of last year, and then it kind of went away. In fact, last summer it actually infiltrated Minecraft, the video game, with tens of millions of young people on there, and you know, Microsoft owns Minecraft, and literally within 3 days they'd cleaned the whole system out and gotten rid of it. Momo Challenge is a little bit different. You know, we've seen the Cinnamon Challenge, we've seen, you know, some positive things, the Ice Bucket Challenge, you know, raising money for ALS. Mm-hmm. But the thing with Momo Challenge is it infects your computer, whether it's your laptop or your cell phone or your tablet. And it does some data mining, and then it uses that information to tell these young people that if you don't do this event or this thing, we're going to tell your parents that you went to this website, or we're going to tell your friends that you went to this place, or you like that picture. I mean, just manipulating these young people. And, you know, that last summer, we know we had two people, a 12 and a 14-year-old, who actually ended up dying from doing one of the challenges. And the challenges start out more socially embarrassing. It's like, okay, go to the mall, go to the food court, and scream out your name and walk away. But you're supposed to videotape yourself and post it up on your Instagram or your Snapchat or something like that. And then it just escalates from there until I think the least dangerous but still lethal thing they had people do is get up on top of their roof and jump off. And then it just gets really life-threatening after that point, all the way around. And we think about these things, and kids have this sense of immortality, yet most of them have not faced, you know, enough life challenges to realize they're not Superman, they're not going to live forever. And then their brains aren't thinking like adult brains. So, so what if my parents find out I went to that site, it was an accident? They're not going to be upset. They don't think like that. And it's really traumatic. And in fact, in the spring of last year, they had a very similar one in Russia, and they actually lost 170 adolescents and teenagers to suicide. So it's real. It's scary, but thank goodness it's not as reactive. In other words, our kids aren't reacting like, say, that group of kids did in Russia with it.
Ladies, do you have a question to begin?
No, I'm kind of like the more you explain about it, I have an older son. He's about 19. Well, he is 19. And he had said that it's just a hoax. But all of the steps that you just told me about are different challenges that my 17-year-old, when I said, hey, list some challenges that you've seen on the computer, some of those are part of it, including one where you're supposed to like try and sleep at a store overnight. So that would be one of the...
Right.
Earlier steps of this and broad category.
And it's worth noting also is that there was something that was circulated just a couple of weeks ago about the go missing for 48 hours challenge. That's another one. I mean, what is this with these daring ideas that somewhat go viral and will have an effect on our younger generation?
Well, again, it has to do with them not having a fully developed brain, and they're not thinking the way adults think. And it's very easy to manipulate those young people. I mean, that's what some of the same reasons why we have statutory rape laws. It's the kids don't really understand the ramifications of what they're doing. And it is a group of people who they're not getting any money from this. It's just malignant. They're out there trying to be harmful to society, and it's disturbing on lots of levels. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's very disturbing. I have four children, and my youngest two are 12 and 13, and we brought it up to them, and they knew all about it and explained some things. But it is, we talk about it constantly at the dinner table. We talk about it in the car. We have a parental control to shut off their phones at 8 o'clock at night, because one night, my daughter's room's right against mine. It was like 11:30 at night, and I hear her talking, and she's on the phone. Mm-hmm. With that house party,
you know, you're doing everything that I recommend that you do. You know, talk to your kids about it. Don't be quiet about it. You've got to have this conversation and let them say, "Oh, that's not real," because it is real, and there are people out there doing these things. And if they don't think it's real, that's great. That just means that they're having a conversation with you, whether they think it's real or not. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, we've been talking with our kids about this stuff. I mean, from day one with computers. My kids wanted on there, and we created a password every night, a 10 to 13 digit number, and we would give them a bunch of math problems. So when they were 6 years old, they wanted to get on the computer. They had to do a sheet full of math, put the numbers end to end correctly, and had to have the password to get on the computer. And they started valuing that computer time because they had to pay for it. And it's very important that they respect that and value that time, because you know, once they burn it, too, it's gone. Time is not a renewing resource.
I guess my question to you is this the only true way to be able to shield your child away from a viral threats like this? Is this to be constantly monitoring what they're doing, how they're doing, who they're talking to, what they're viewing?
Well, the idea is that you have these conversations with your children, and it's not one conversation. It's just a constant, ongoing part of your daily routine. Hey, did you see any new viral challenges out there? Did you see, you know, just have that discussion. And they will incorporate the discussion into their life, and you'll create a filter for them so that they're protected. In fact, I can tell you, between my two kids, probably 11, maybe 12 different times, since they were in second grade, that we've had to, you know, intervene. And my kids brought other friends to us, my wife and I, and they know what I do and said, hey, I'm worried about my friend. And we've had them, you know, we've had to get a hold of parents because these kids were suicidal and things like that, because my kids knew about it because we talked about it all the time. Mm-hmm. And in one case, the student had moved away, and the parents' phone numbers had changed, and my daughter showed me the stuff on Snapchat, actually. And it was very disheartening. This young lady, you know, new school, feeling isolated and alone, and she was talking about how she was going to end everything. Mm-hmm. We couldn't get a hold of the parent. We couldn't get a hold of the young lady. We actually got a hold of Snapchat, and then their administration contacted us within a half an hour. They'd found the parents and had talked to them, and taking care of stuff for us. Wow, so it was amazing. I was amazed that social media outlet actually had a mechanism in place to follow through with that.
Tammy?
That's amazing. No, I was just going to agree that the communication is so important. I've always told my kids, no matter what you need to tell me, tell me. I might get upset or I might be sad or whatever, but we'll deal with it. Now that they're older, they tell me things I wish they didn't, but we've always had open communication about it. So they'll come in. Tonight, before I came out, my son knew we were going to be talking about stuff online, and he mentioned he's really aggravated that a bunch of adults he know keeps forwarding the free JetBlue tickets. It's a hoax. But he's like, how many people are going to put this on their Facebook page? So it's like, we tend to believe whatever we see.
We do.
And it really
kind of... And what we want to believe.
Right, right.
We want to believe it.
And so I love that he can come up to me and tell me that that bothers him. You know?
It's just, to me, it's, you know, today's day and age. I mean, if we all think back to 15, 20, 25 years, 30 years ago, that we would be living a reality like this, where there's a counterculture that is all virtual. You know, it's not necessary where it's face-to-face, where, you know, there was a time and a day when you would see each other, talk to each other. Now it's just, you could do it via keyboard and a screen, or just your phone, your digital apparatus. I mean, how much worse, Doctor, do you think that this can get in regards to our society?
Well, you know, I it's interesting because I work with medical patients as well as mental health patients, but I work with them dealing with the stress of, for example, dying of cancer or losing a leg or a heart transplant. And one of the things that kind of strikes me is a lot of these individuals spend a lot of time in skilled nursing facilities or nursing homes. And who are the majority of people who are working there? The unskilled laborers. And if they didn't know how to communicate with the patients there, which is that's what's happening with this generation, is they're not learning how to communicate face-to-face. I feel sorry for that generation that's going to be dealing with medical problems, maybe even just old age, dealing in those kind of facilities with caregivers who don't know how to communicate unless you text to them. And that's something I'm worried about. We have to realize this whole thing started 2007 was the first smartphone hit the ground for commercial purposes, and we all got access to it. So we're talking 12 years, and our world changed overnight. And the other thing that's like this was television, right? But it took decades, and we had three channels, then four channels. Yep. And in the 70s, you might have cable where a local town might have 25, 30 channels. Now we have 300 channels. We had decades to adjust, to learn, okay, these things kind of just waste time. But educational shows, it's a nice way to learn things, and you don't have to go pull out a book. And, you know, we kind of adjust our time frame for that. And so we're not too bad when it comes to managing television with the rest of our world. We have no time for these growing pains. Literally, in 12 years, we went from zero to the speed of sound, and we are dealing with that. And society's methods, rules, criteria for engagement are all changing very fast. And if you think back to television, they said when Elvis Presley got on the air that it would destroy Western civilization. Well, we survived Elvis. I think we'll survive this. It's just going to take us some time. We're going to have to grow into it.
I have to correct you, Doctor. My mother would have called him Elvis the Pelvis. That would have been she was the ultimate Elvis fan, and that's what she would fondly call Elvis. But yeah, she would point to, you know, him being on TV, or when the Beatles, you know, landed and came to America. That was another turning point.
Exactly.
Or
long hair, you know, became normal for men.
Oh, the music.
Yeah.
Now it's played in the elevator.
Yeah.
It is. You're shopping, right?
It is.
Well, I think they're targeting our demographic. That's what they're doing.
Oh.
They're targeting
us.
They know. I want to tie this in. It's interesting. We're talking about this Momo challenge and challenges such that are like it and how they're tied to the internet or social media. And you kind of hit the nail on the head where we're more and more, you know, a lot of us are, I mean, I think all of us in this room actually have...
It's on my lap.
Yeah. I mean, we all have...
Adults
a device,
guilty.
A device, and we're all caught. I mean, how many hours a day would you say you catch yourself
looking?
Oh, it
tells me now, and sometimes I'm shocked.
Does it really?
It does. My iPhone will tell me how much screen time I've had a week or a day.
Mine does as well.
Yeah.
And you know what? Mine probably does. It seems as though our society is slowly sinking into an addiction with these phones. And I guess I'm tying addiction to these devices to, you know, being more susceptible to challenges, you know, virtual challenges that could be life-threatening.
Absolutely. Because of that real life experience. I remember, you know, when my kids and they started getting involved with it, well, I'm like, okay, we got to start, you know, besides the password, we have to start letting them know that there's a world outside of these games they play and their social media group. So started taking my kids hunting and fishing. And I remember the first time, you know, we're coming back from a hunting trip, my son and I, and he's like, man, Dad, that was amazing. It was so real.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, this was it took too long to get you out here. So, and now it's great. I said, hey, we're going out. You want to go out to the country? And they're ready before I am. And they invite their friends. And there's no cell phone connection out there. There's no data stream. And we're way out in the middle of nowhere, 1,500 acres, and run around with cows and deer and wild hogs. And they love it, and their friends love it. It's amazing. Even the vegan and vegetarian friends come out there and have a blast. And they're like, wow, I didn't realize that wild hogs weren't indigenous and that, you know, it's not, you know, harming nature. It's actually helping them to clean off some of that population and things like that. It's just amazing.
How many fish did they catch?
Oh, man. We catch so much. It's ridiculous.
Because I think, yeah, if your kid actually plays video games, does your son play video games?
Yes.
I wonder if he plays the Bass Pro video game. He probably can catch 50 fish in an hour.
No, that's me. That's
oh.
No, he likes the combat games, you know, that are kind of not like Call of Duty, but the ones where they have these fake weapons and stuff like that are magical and all that kind of stuff. And he does it with his friends. And they're real friends in real life. He actually has his phone set up on Skype, and they all are in a group Skype while they're playing. So they actually do interact with each other. Mm-hmm. So it's actually kind of a moderate compromise between just being on the game and actually spending time with their real friends.
So what do we do in regards to at least weaning ourselves or at least controlling ourselves when it comes to having an electronic device like a phone in the time we spend? I mean, myself, I use the device and I'm connected. I mean, we used to, where I work, we used to have like a big grease board. We used to have like a dry erase and we would write things. And now we were kind of made to have a Google calendar and do Google invites. And we're doing everything electronically. It seems as though we're slowly, as a society, getting sucked into this virtual world.
Exactly. And some of the things we know, you know, if you're doing social media type apps, which is kind of mindless, it is mindless. What we know, the CDC actually lists it as being causal for depression after 2 hours of time online in any given day. So that's not working on a project. That's not putting together a spreadsheet, working on a report. That is something that's not goal-directed, and you just kind of, like I said, mindless. So what we do and we recommend is that, you know, if you're having problems, is to go cold turkey for a week, and it's amazing how much better you feel because you have stepped away from that. But we can't all do that. You and I both have to work with it. I have to use Google Calendar as well. I have producers all over the nation, and they set up interviews like this one for me with people, and I, you know, I have to be able to communicate with it while I'm seeing my patients. While like tomorrow I'm in court testifying all day, you know, I have to be able to stay in touch with all that to keep things running. So what I tend to do is have one day a week that is my day where I go no social media, no internet, and it's easier for me to do it like on a Sunday. And some people it may not be, a Wednesday might be better for them, but I recommend you do that. And in fact, this past summer I took 8 weeks off social media.
Ooh.
And it was very difficult. I had an advantage. You know, I've got a team of people who are staying on top of all the stuff. So people weren't, hey, you're not posting anything on Twitter. Yeah, well, I got people who do that for me. You know, and we're all volunteers for my nonprofit. It's not a, you know, we're not making tons of money or anything like that on there. But it gave me a break, and man, it really because I got wrapped up all in it too. I mean, I was right there with it, and it really gave it a perspective. And pretty much all I do now on my social media stuff is when I got an appearance like this and I know when it's going to air, I post out there when it's going to happen. And then I go around and everybody's birthday, I tell everybody happy birthday, you know, to people that I haven't seen in 20 years from high school or from a work I used to be at and that kind of stuff. And the rest of it, it's not really that important. I'd rather be in my life and be living it. So,
again, we're speaking with Dr. John Huber. He is a psychologist, as we've been chatting with him about the Momo Challenge. Also, the chairman of for Mainstream Mental Health. They have a website, www.mainstreammentalhealth.org. And he is our guest for a few more moments. Tammy, did you have another follow-up question?
I did, but it's sort of off topic, but it was something that popped out at me while you were speaking.
He might not mind.
Let's go.
How are you feeling? I'm a social worker, so it kind of comes from there.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the online and phone appointments that seem to be happening? I don't know as much in Massachusetts, but other states. So people
other states are doing, you know, and it's funny because some of my insurance, because I'm on some panels,
mm-hmm.
some of my insurance tell me not to do it. Absolutely. They won't reimburse me.
Yeah. And it just seems like an interesting concept because now you're never even face to face with your clinician.
Right. And what do we know? The research shows the most important thing in psychotherapy is that interpersonal connection, that human connection, no matter what therapy orientation you are. No, whether, you know, if you're agnostic and they're Christian or mm-hmm. Hindu, it doesn't matter. It's the relationship that's the most important.
Right.
And I've observed, I've watched, I've been asked to look at different programs and watch therapists interact with their patients. And I get a really uneasy feeling about it. I think our generation is not enmeshed enough into the electronics, and we're not as open as, say, the generation coming up, the millennials and the generation behind them, who that's how they communicate is online.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like our generation hides stuff. We're not 100% honest. You know how you watch nonverbals of your patients when they're telling you something, you go, oh, that's a lie.
Right.
And you go after it. You know?
Or your children.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't. I don't get that when I'm watching this. I don't see it's hidden until I get to the younger kids who are more used to sharing online. And, you know, our generation is, hey, it's out there and it's there forever. It's never going away. Do you really want that out there? And this generation coming up, they don't seem to have that preoccupation with that. I think that's why they're able to do the sexting and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't have any qualms or concerns with those images still being out there in the digital world forever. And we do. We have a little privacy issue, I think.
Yeah.
Is this good or bad, though, Doctor?
Wow. I think it's kind of like money. It's not good or bad. It can be a magnifier. If your world is going great, that kind of stuff can be wonderful for you. If your world is growing bad, it can make it 10 times worse.
Good.
Does that make sense?
It definitely does. And we definitely appreciate having you on here. I didn't realize the magnitude of how often you're having conversations. According to my notes here, you've appeared on over, 300 top-tiered radio shows, and you also are the host of your own radio show, Mainstream Mental Health Radio, which is actually heard around the nation. If we wanted to tune in, whether myself or Tammy or Kathy wanted to tune in, when is your show, when does it air? Is it a podcast?
It's a podcast right now. We've talked with several stations. We're working on some different things. It's a podcast. We have a couple hundred shows out there. We're averaging about 100,000 downloads a month, which is
wow.
is pretty good, I think. Yeah, we're doing all right. And we are dropping about 8 shows a month. 4 of them are Mainstream Mental Health, and the other one is done with the CEO of the Mental Health News Radio Network, which is one of the places you can find my show. You can also find my show on iTunes. You can find it on any of the blog talk or any of the radio blog places out there. It's on just about every single one of them. And the other show that I do is what we call Mental Health Perspectives. And the CEO of the show, Kristen, she is not a mental health professional, and we have a moderator who comes in and asks us mental health questions, and she answers them as a layperson, because she is, and then I follow up, or I'll answer it first as a professional, then she follows up as a layperson, and going, wow, I didn't know this. And, you know, and we have a discussion about different things, and every week it's a different topic, sometimes multiple topics, so...
Sounds like something we should all check out. I saw you take Tammy taking copious notes, in, so she can tune in, which is good. I'm glad somebody's taking notes.
Yeah.
So we can check out.
If you go to the website, the link should all be there as well. You can get, instead of typing out mainstreammentalhealth.org, you can go to drpsycho.org, which is drpsycho.org, and it'll get you right there.
And I owe you a small apology for last week, as there was a little bit of a mess up. We're so grateful we had you on this evening to talk about this important issue.
Well, I appreciate that, and things worked out great. Like I said, I got a subpoena like Wednesday to go to court tomorrow in another town, and I was able to convince the attorney that we don't need to leave till early in the morning, so I was here tonight. So I said, "Think you're going to be saving on a hotel? Come on, you know you're going to pay for me,
right?
You know, my daily rate. You only have to pay for one day, not two. Come on."
Well, I feel fortunate because I have two good co-hosts, a great co-host who are here asking good questions. And again, we all being parents of, you know, different age children, it helps us, and it also something that we can translate onto our listeners as well.
Well, you have a great show. I love being on it. And, you know, every time my producers say, hey, you know, Kevin wants you on, let's do it. Let's find a way. Let's be there.
Well, yeah, well. Big shout out to Ryan McCormick for making this happen of Goldman McCormick Public Relations. Ryan and Mark do a great job.
They sure do. And I'll see them this weekend in New York.
So all right.
Have a great time.
Hey, listen, tip of the cap, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. We are going to step aside in just a moment. It was good talking with Dr. John Huber.
Mm-hmm.
It's a valuable conversation, yes?
Absolutely. I can't wait to listen to his podcast.
Really? Okay.
I know. I wrote it down as well.
I'll email him my show. He can watch me.
See? Right?
Ooh, good.
And hopefully he'll tune into our podcast.
Yes.
And he'll know all about Exit 13.
Yep.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to step aside. And coming up in a few moments, we are expecting to hear from Dave Russo any moment. But I think we can carry on the conversation until we get him on the line. You are listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Chef Jeff from Brennan Smoke Shop. Are you looking forward to sharing your corned beef this St. Paddy's Day? But find your meat and potatoes be suffering? Well, I got good news for you. There is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. Brennan Smoke Shop sells the market's leading male and female herbal enhancement products. For the low price of just $9.99, you can have award-winning corned beef and cabbage in just 15 to 30 minutes. Brennan's Smoke Shop, the best smoke shop in Massachusetts. Customers must be 21 years of age or older, and proper ID is required.
When you visit McGuigan's Pub in Whitman, you're walking into a real Irish pub. McGuigan's charming ambiance is the perfect setting for celebrating St. Patrick's Day. Enjoy a Guinness on tap at the 54-foot mahogany bar or grab dinner in our dining area. McGuigan's menu offers everything from bangers and mashed, shepherd's pie to fish and chips. Coming soon, the patio at McGuigan's, al fresco dining in Whitman Center. McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street in Whitman. Sláinte.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we are back for the final segment of Monday Night Talk. And again, we're awaiting our final guest of the evening, Dave Russo. Dave might be. He's on the road. Tongue in cheek, because that's he has a website and that's his thing. He's always on the road. I got a ton of questions. I definitely want to ask Dave other than a couple of different shows that he has coming up in Marshfield. And also, and I think he's got, it's in Marshfield the same night as Winnie Arotha talks. I think he's Thursday in Marshfield.
Wow. 14th.
I think the 14th, yeah.
Competition.
I think he's going to be at Station 8.
Oh, cool. I like Station 8.
Yeah, I like it there too.
What do you like about it?
I like their eggplant.
Yeah, the food is fantastic. I had pastrami there once. It was amazing.
And swordfish.
I have not had swordfish there, but I'll have to
try. I am a little hungry, so bringing up food is not...
I know, right?
Yeah, my stomach.
There's no snacks or treats here, Kevin, I thought.
Well, here's the thing. The former host, many, many moon ago, when Bob Hedlund was the host, like, 9 years ago, eight, 9 years ago, Bob would actually eat on air.
Oh.
And I would listen to the show, and I'm like, why? You hear... Nobody
wants
as
to.
A listener, I don't want to hear you chewing on air. And if I'm going to be following you as a host, I'm curious as to what might be left behind on the windscreen for the next person to have to talk into, which would be somewhat interesting. Were you going to say something, Ben?
On the windscreen comment, nothing good is ever left behind.
Something to keep in mind. But what's even interesting is that I like to use the analogy as to this radio program is usually the first couple of segments was like the appetizer. Mm-hmm. And we just enjoyed our entree with Dr. John Huber. And hopefully we're going to have a nice conversation with Dave in a couple of moments here, as Dave has been on before. And I think you've heard, Tammy has heard
it
before.
Yep, yep.
And made comps. Tammy tunes in from time to time. And it's excellent that we have a good partnership with you and the Council on Aging, mm-hmm. not only formerly down in Kingston, but now in Hanover.
Yep, it's great. And I love when I can text you and tell you someone's funny or ask this question.
Right, or somebody like Kenyatta Savage is in talking, who is now...
Amazing.
Doing the acapella thing.
He's doing acapella music. He's an amazing musician, but he's doing all the different parts himself. So when he plays the music for you and you hear him harmonizing with other people, he's actually harmonizing
really
himself.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's fascinating.
So it almost sounds like if you have a guitar you could be able to hit a pedal, mm-hmm. and be able to record it, and then it cycles through, and then it kind of...
Yeah.
Who does that? Ed Sheeran does that, right?
Oh, I love Ed Sheeran.
Do tell.
He is awesome.
No, yes. I do. I've seen
But that's what, like...
I have seen him because I know exactly what song you're talking about, that he does that. He's amazing.
Right, so I'm getting the thumbs up that Dave. Dave is actually on the line right now, but I'm getting a finger. So
we can wait a second. So I was also going to mention is how you do live broadcasts for my Council on Aging from time to time.
Oh my goodness,
and it's so much fun.
So we should talk about maybe planning the next one.
We should definitely talk about that soon. Yep.
Yep. We'll wait. We're not pushy. You let us know when, and we'll speak with your agent, Marilyn.
Yes, Marilyn. We should give her a shout out. Hello, Marilyn.
Marilyn.
I miss
so
you.
Awesome.
And another one that left us.
And of course, speaking of awesome, we have the one and only Dave Russo on the line. Dave, who is.
You know what? I want to thank my agent for putting me on your show tonight. How's that sound?
Hey, Dave, you know, I'm a little jealous. As a fellow Italian, I'm a little jealous that you actually have a vineyard that actually put a wine out with your face on it.
You know what? I was like, what are we going to talk about today? You nailed it on the right leg. You know what? Yes, Fulcino Vineyard in Hollis, New Hampshire. I have been producing their comedy shows for them, I want to say, for about 5 years. And I did a video of their vineyard. And the owner was like, what kind of red wine do you like? And I'm like, I like this red wine. And next thing you know, we came up with this Malbec Red and sold out in 6 days. And when you're off road, drink Russo off the road. I don't know. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's so, really good. I'm actually I'm scared of it because when I drink it, I don't want to stop.
Are you in pitch mode? You sound like you're in pitch mode, Dave.
No, well, actually, you brought it up, and I am actually very excited about the wine because the product is it's actually really, really good. It's getting good feedback. And like I said, it sold out in 6 days, and now these restaurants are trying to get it. So hopefully, I don't have to do stand up comedy for the rest of my life. I'll just sell cheese, wine, and scally cap. You know what I mean?
Well, I was going to say that you're becoming like the South Shore's Paul Newman. You know, the first it's a dressing. And then before you know, it's coffee grind.
Hey, if you want to, stick me with Paul Newman, I'll take that any time of the day. I want to be him in that movie when he was the senator.
Really?
I mean, you don't remember that movie with Paul Newman?
No,
oh, you don't.
No, I don't.
I forget.
No, I like him. My favorite Paul Newman movie, Cool Hand Luke.
Okay, really? Cool
nope.
Hand Luke.
Nobody, right? Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
Anything Paul Newman does, he was always a cool cat, and he did salad dressing. I think his best movie was the movie with the Hanson brothers, but that's just me.
I'm a hockey fan.
And with that segment, I am going to be on the South Shore this Thursday with the NHL Alumni Pro-Am at Station 8. We're doing a comedy fundraiser, and we're psyched. We're wrapping one off we got shirts that we're wrapping off by Patricio. Yeah, Bergeron, Bork, all of them. Yes, we're gonna have a good night on the South Shore this Thursday.
Yeah, you know what? I stand corrected. I also love Slapshot.
Yes, I know what I say. The Hanson brothers. I can just picture those guys.
Probably one of the best hockey movies ever.
Well, you know what? I mean, what else is there besides that one? You got the Mighty Ducks. Okay, whatever. But then you got
Miracle on Ice.
You got the one with Rob Lowe.
Miracle on Ice.
Rob Lowe with the Youngblood.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the one with
Topic? You got a miracle.
With the hockey player who turned...
Oh, I don't know.
Partner's Olympic
Alaska.
Skater.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I like that
skater?
Movie. And she ended up... Yeah, I had a crush on her for a little bit. I totally liked her. And she ended up being on the USA Channel. She ended up being I believe the...
Tony
she
Hardy?
Works for the government. what the heck was it? It was with it'll come to me anyways. It's on USA all the time.
Not Omarosa.
No, not Omarosa.
Well, she worked for the government.
Truth be told, I'm going to visit my dad. Like, you know, you have that thing like on the back of your mind, like, what? I know I'm missing something, right? So I'm getting ready to go visit my dad. My alarm goes off. And I'm like, why the heck is my alarm going off? I'm like, oh my God. Marshfield, I gotta call the Kev. So I'm super glad that we caught up right now. You know what I mean? Because I had it in my notes all day.
I got it. It's the cutting edge.
Ooh. The cutting edge.
And don't forget, what was the one with Will Ferrell? Blades of...
Blades of Glory?
Blades of Glory.
Blades of Glory.
Oh, that's not hockey. Oh.
that was figure skating, but I think there was a hockey player that went into being a figure skater and something. Oh, and then there was the movie with Happy Gilmore. I think he was a hockey player.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Go in your home!
Let me ask you this. Are you both of you and your producer going to be able to come this Thursday night to Station 8 in Marshfield? I mean... The guys, Sean McLeod and the guys that were raising money for, these guys, they do well on their own in their own personal life, and these guys raise a ton of money for the alumni program in the Boston Children's Hospital. So we got like an all-star show coming down there. I didn't want to interrupt you, but I hope you guys can come to the show because Station 8 is pretty cool. It's a Thursday night. And what else is there to do in Las Vegas on a Thursday night in March?
In March.
And you go to Station 8 and see a bunch of North Shore comedians. And we have a South Shore comedian. Nick Stevens coming down. We got Paul Gilligan, who is on the Charlie Moore Show. Myself. Who else do we got? Oh, Pete Costello, right? Fox's favorite Pete Costello, who I'd say he killed. I'll tell you who he killed. You know who he killed?
Who did he kill?
This is a teaser to go to a commercial.
and of course, Nicky Stevens is a radio guy. Right?
What's that? Oh, yeah, Nicky Stevens is great. As a matter of fact, because I knew it was a sports-themed, you know, event, and he's a South Shore guy, and I've done radio with him, and I definitely wanted to invite him on, and he's funny as hell, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he does the Patriots. He and the other guy do the Patriots videos, Fitzy. That's what Nicky does.
Yeah, that's his alter ego.
The stuff that Pats fans, I can't say what it actually is.
Say. He's fantastic. And you know what? And he's a fan of you. And so he says hello. You know, all these guys know I'm going on your radio show today, man. You know.
So yeah, I'm surprised you're only pimping the Marshfield show, aren't you? In Plymouth on Sunday for St. Paddy's Day.
Well, you know what I. Listen, thank you for reminding me. You know, I'm trying to live with my feet planted today. I'm trying to live right now going, ooh, after this radio interview, I have nothing else to do for the rest of my life. Oh, Jesus. I love this stuff. I forgot. Yeah, I'm with the Hurley. It's an early show, too. You guys got to come to that one.
And where's
that's
that
got
one?
Myself, EJ. I think it's EJ Murphy, myself, Christine Hurley. And that's on St. Patty's Day. Yeah, you know what? That's awesome. Sunday, 6 p.m.
Hey, oh, doesn't... Wait.
Where is that?
Yeah. They're taking
St. Patty's Day.
They're taking copious notes. Where are you going to be? In Plymouth.
You know what? It's on DaveRusso.net.
All right, hold on. Hold on. Google is your friend. I'm Googling it right now.
March 17th, I'm going to be Hurley Tavern on the Water. 6 p.m. show. Bam, I nailed it.
Tavern on the Water. There you go. Okay. Oh, actually, that was...
Hurley might stop by Thursday. I might stop by her show on Thursday. Depends if timing works. I'm really trying to pimp out the Thursday show because I love the NHL Alumni Pro-Am, and the South Shore is so awesome with the hockey. They're wicked. I'm a North Shore guy. When I came down to the South Shore, you guys are great to me. The girls kicked my butt, but the guys were super nice to me. God bless you. I'm scared of all the women on the South Shore. God bless you.
As you should be.
Yep.
Rightfully so.
Absolutely. Other than that, real quick, let me tell you something. When one woman comes after you, they go, listen, they make the phone call, and the 72 of them, you're like, okay, I understand everything you said. Thank you very much. I love it. They stick together like us Italians do. Run for the border.
So this event at Station 8 on Thursday, now, is it just yourself and some great comedians, or are you going to have some gear?
All right. We have some super cool gear coming out. We have a Patrice Bergeron signed jersey. You know what? Sean McLeod and those guys, they travel. They do stuff with the Bruins alumni. So okay. I don't even want to try to touch. They're going to have, like, really, really cool stuff. They always have the best of the best stuff. Sticks, shirts, and it's all top-quality stuff. So it's all legit. These guys, they're very well-off young men that love hockey and they love the cause. And so they throw a party, man. And who the heck throws a party better than Marshall? Seriously. Anytime I've ever been in a party at Marshall, I'm like, I need to call a Lyft immediately.
That's definitely a smart move.
Yeah. I'll have a limo waiting for me outside after the show. I'll be the driver. Get me on it. That's what the Italians are good for. We're the getaway drivers.
Folks.
It'll be fun. You know what the coolest thing is? You know what the coolest thing about performing on the South Shore? Like, these guys never see me do shows. I do 90% of my shows from Boston and north. So when I come down to the South Shore, I don't have to switch my act. Like, well, if somebody sees me Friday night and they come and see me in another 3 weeks, I got to switch it up a little bit. Well, you guys, I can just bring in the A game. So it's fun for us. Cause I'm like, I don't think you guys have ever seen any of my material. So I can just do it like it's the first time I've ever done it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. That's more fun for us. It's less pressure. I can just wing it like a maniac and just go like I'm doing it right now on this radio show. we went from slap shot right into the hockey thing. It worked out good. You know what I'm saying? Kept like a softball tournament.
Right? That's around the corner.
And the Hug Foundation. That's how we met. We met through Alex Bezanson and the Hug Foundation.
I was just
we love
Alex.
Alex's wife. They're awesome. And like I said, the South Shore people have been so nice to the North Shore guys. And it's worth the traffic.
Dave, I got to tell you, you're amongst some royalty, and you said Alex Bezanson, and so happens that one of my co-hosts here, State Representative Kathy Lenatra, actually was hanging out with...
just with Alex on Saturday night for a St. Patrick's Day dinner.
Well, then I probably saw... If you were in the photos and I saw you in the photos, I'll look you up and like you on Facebook because...
I bought a special green dress for the occasion.
I love it. You know what? I'm envious. I don't know if you got that though. All right, thank you. There we go. You know what? That's right too. I happen to be on the South Shore, and I'm Italian, like you said, Kev, on the South Shore. But I'll have my Scally cap. I think I might wear a green star jacket or some other type of green fatigue, and I'm gonna let it rip. I already got a hotel room for what do you call it, St. Patty's Day.
Wow.
So I'm not going anywhere. Yeah.
You're not staying with Christine? I think you'd stay with Christine and Jimmy. The Hurleys.
You know what? I know there's swingers in Hingham. I don't know about Plymouth. So I think, was that too much? The AM radio?
No. All the kids are in bed already, so it's adult hour now.
No, I mean, I don't think they go that way in Plymouth. Like I said, a couple other towns in that neighborhood, but I don't know if Plymouth's the one. But anyways, no, you know what? I'll get a room down there, and I'll enjoy a long weekend festively, and I don't know, you know, hang out on the South Shore, go shopping.
Well, you also get a moment to don't you have a special contest coming up? March Madness contest?
Well, you are good, man. You guys are great. Yes, I took notes. You know what? Like I mentioned, the majority of my shows are on the North Shore, so Volkswagen of Medford has leased me a car and branded it Russo on the Road or what have you. And so I also work with Newburyport Brewing Company and Totino Vineyard. So basically, we have a contest, and share my page, and we're going to, you know, do a score of who you think is going to make the finals. Then I'm going to deliver them a case of Newburyport's finest beer, my wine from Fortino Vineyard, and I'm going to deliver it in my in the car. So, I don't know. I just figured I'd have fun with it. I just did a video one day with my buddy Pete Costello, who will be on the show this Thursday night, station 8 p.m. for the NHL Alumni Pro-Am, just in case you didn't know that. I guess I am in the plug moment right now.
You are. You're kind of fun.
Yeah, so that's pretty much... I lose my train of thought so bad because the Born Identity is on TV right now as I'm talking on the radio. I love this new technology. It's really good.
I thought you might be watching yourself another episode of Dirty Water TV.
Oh, God. You know what? It's funny. I watch myself now, and I'm so thankful that Jimmy, who's from Plymouth, Jimmy Clark, who's the producer, does all the editing. And I always told him from day one, if you have to edit me out, go right ahead.
Really?
Just make me like, you know, we don't need cameras to be in front of us to make us look like idiots or sound like idiots or look like idiots. I can do that on my own. So I just always said to him, you know, try to make me look so that my parents will be proud. And he's done a great job by that one. So there you go.
Well, it is interesting. I love seeing your interviews, whether it's with Dennis Leary or Lenny Clark. You even had a chance to catch up with Mookie Betts, MVP.
You know what? And that was a few years ago. Now, the Mookie Betts one, I got to tell you something, Kevin. That guy's a champion, and I felt like he's very grateful. He's very thankful and giving, and I felt real comfortable around him. Like, in the beginning, I don't know if you saw the beginning of the video, the cameraman's going, Mookie, if you mess up, we'll tape it over again. Mookie's looking at me, and I'm tapping him on the shoulder. Hey, I'm worried about me messing up. And Mookie just started laughing. So he was a really easy interview, man, for somebody of his stature. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yeah, he was fun. All those guys are special people. I got the Devin McCourty one coming out, because I interviewed him the same night. I think I'll bring that out. Maybe I'll try to deflate some of the Bob Kraft stuff that's going on. You know, we change it to positive stuff. My goodness. It's just, you know what? It's like you pick and choose what you want to talk about in comedy, and so I choose not to talk about that, but because I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I'm like, how did this happen? How did this happen?
Yep.
You couldn't, like, I'm sure you could have made more money by saying, hey, they're going to snipe you right now. If you pay me this, I mean, I'm sorry. I'm thinking like an Italian. What am I talking about? You know what I mean? I mean, think through the lines. Oh, my God. If I ever found out that they're going to go, someone's going to go nail my champion. First of all, I would do it for free. Now I think about it. They're going to nail my champion. But people just don't like us anywhere. I mean, look what they're doing with a 77-year-old man. I would have a doctor's note going, you know what, the guy, he's clinically, he's got dementia. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just walking around. He just says, go here, go there. Nobody knew anything. I don't know. He's got to have a pay off a doctor, this guy. Have an impersonator come on. I'm sorry, it was me. I get my kicks off being a 77-year-old guy. I don't know. Do something. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, how about this? You know what? I was trying to run stupid little jokes on it, and this is the whole thing. Remember that? Like, he's got a girlfriend, by the way. You know that, right?
Right.
I know, that's crazy. But I was trying to write jokes on the thing, and I was thinking, like, back in the day when they used to accuse, like, they used to say, like, Belichick cheated, right? And I would say, well, he's from Jersey, you know, probably. You know what I mean? Because I would always try to stick up for Boston, you know? So
it's tough.
I guess it wasn't Belichick. Maybe it was Maybe it was Kraft.
Maybe.
I'm sorry. That's such a horrible joke. I love you, man.
It's all good.
I feel so bad.
Dave, we're...
No, I feel so bad. I feel so bad for him because, like I said, I'm a conspiracy theorist, and I just, somebody's out to get a kind man. What he does for the community and for people, leave people's personal life alone when they walk down the street or drive down the street. You know? I don't know.
It's a different world, Dave.
It's a different world, and we're living in it. So I love it, though. I love the fact in comedy that people are getting called out for saying the wrong things, because I grew up with parents that have been married 53 years, and I grew up with an older sister. I know exactly what I can say to piss off a woman. So I choose not to go down that line. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's like, it's called having couth, I think the word is. Couth, is that what it's called? And plus, my parents are both still alive, so I don't want somebody saying, "I heard your son is horrible. He sounds like a horrible person." And my parents would be so disappointed. No, I just I never got into comedy to belittle or to like offend people. I got into entertain because I'm really good at getting up late in the day, and that's when you entertain late in the day. So I knew at an early age I wanted to entertain, and I guess growing up, none of the people that influenced me to entertain were hateful. They really weren't point of view type of comics, I guess, or entertainers. I always liked the entertaining comic, like the Steve Martin type of things, you know, the goofy, quirky, Jim Carrey with the physical comedy. Of course, I mean, let's face it, we all liked Eddie Murphy when he came out with Delirious. And
sure.
I'm so surprised people haven't come out and saying, "Look what he used to say back then." People's heads would explode. The young kids would be like, "Oh my God, the donkey from that cartoon movie is this guy?" You know who the donkey is? I'm the donkey. That's who I am. Because people take it so personally. I know, I laugh about it because I remember listening to it. And I guess I totally see people's points right now, but I think at the time I never was laughing at that particular, it was never like hateful, I guess, because I guess I just don't have that mindset. So, but I'm a little more aware now that, you know, some things might hurt people. So, you know, no one tries to. We're a work in progress, us middle aged white guys. You know what I'm saying? I just tell people I'm Italian. I said, "I'm not Caucasian. I'm Italian." Because when I was dancing, when I was 14 years old, when I was dancing, no one ever called me a white guy. I got some hateful things called towards me. When you're a white guy in the 80s that could dance and break dance and you hung out in the neighborhood, you got called, you know, we all got bullied. So it made me stronger and it made me run faster, I guess.
One heck of an athlete, I might add.
What's that?
This is one heck of an athlete as well.
Well, you know what? Thank you. I pride my mom. I have jokes with my mom that I don't even do anymore, but I used to tease about how good my mom was as my mom was president of women's softball, you know, for 25 years. My mom, I have a video of her from bowling three weeks ago.
I saw that.
76 years old.
I saw that. Your mom's a heck of a bowler.
And put it this way. So now she said, you and I have played sports together, and you always compliment me, and I really appreciate that, but... You know, my dad had the heart of a lion, but my mother was the athlete. My mother kicks ass. Did I say that on the radio?
Yeah, you just did. You just did.
No, but she really, like, that's like right now, and I have to, and I'm kind of trying to work this into my act right now because, you know, a couple of days ago was Women's International Women's Day.
Yep.
You know, and I've known about women's issues, you know, since I was 9 years old. My mother was president of women's softball for 35 years. I had women coming and going in the kitchen with the meetings. And, you know, these women started this program. They had to raise money, Chisholm Sports, Winter Hill Sports. These women took it seriously. They started off. And so I've always known about, you know, like I said, what I can say and what I can't say. Because, you know what I mean? I was around it. So I think the people just they're catching up right now on things that, you know, I always say my generation already knew. About acceptance, if that makes any sense, what the heck I'm talking about.
No, it absolutely does. But
you know what I mean, I'm trying to talk about that in my act. Going, listen, about time you guys caught up with me, because I've been around this stuff since I was forever, and I knew eventually, people, you're going down. I've seen these ladies compete. You know what I mean? I've known about women in the right to vote in 1920 and all the. My mom taught me all that stuff growing up. Oh yeah. And now it's just getting out right now. So I love it. I love it that that's what's coming out in comedy, because the trappy comedians that are just saying things just to be hurtful, those ones, who needs that? Who needs that?
So are you saying that... Are you saying that... So you're feeling confident, though, if the Oscars called you, you would have been okay hosting that?
I tell you what, it would have been so awesome for me, because I would have smiled. I would have been like, I am so grateful that people are so scared to be themselves. Hi, I'm Dave. I'm not perfect. I'm going to do a joke about me. I'm going to do a joke about you. I'm going to do a joke about everybody. And it's going to be out of love and out of fun. And then we're going to go grab an Oscar. And, right?
Dave.
Come on. It's just like, my goodness. If anyone knows anything in the world, not one. I've never met anyone perfect. Ever. Okay? And I've looked at magazines since I was a kid. So, all right, you didn't get that joke, but maybe later.
No, it's all right. But Dave, unfortunately, we got to wrap up. Dave has a great show coming up this Thursday night at 8:00, the NHL Alumni Pro Am at Station 8 with Paul Gillian and Pete Costello, as well as our good friend Dave Russo. Make sure you get on down this Station 8. We were actually talking about it before you came on.
And Nick Stevens. Don't forget about Nick.
And Nicky Stevens from another radio station that they can't mention on the air.
No, but he's that's right.
He's
that's
a great right. guy. He's a great guy. Great guy. And I'm looking forward to coming by and having some swordfish on Thursday night.
Well, you know what? And some laughs.
And some laughs.
And some laughs.
And maybe a couple of beers.
And raffle tickets. You're not getting off easy.
And a nifty jersey, and maybe a Terry O'Reilly jersey. Whatever they have. You want to get down there, you get a jersey.
Looking forward to it. All right. Thank you so much. Always love hanging out with you guys.
There he is, the one and only Dave. DaveRusso.net. And that's basically it. Ladies, anything you want to say in closing? It's been a...
It's been a pleasure. It's been a very interesting evening.
Thanks for having me.
And that was a very interesting half an hour. I don't know how many words we got in edgewise, but I think
that was great.
It was definitely great. Dave, a consummate showman, and I think I am going to go down. Me and the missus like to go to Station 8 from time to time. And it's, of course, Station 8 located right behind Town Hall. It's in that down in that plaza.
Right on 139.
Shaw's, and you got Marshall's. It's exactly.
Yep, 139 and Webster.
Can't miss it. Station 8. Make sure you check out Dave 8:00. And then if you don't get to that one, he's actually going to be at the Wharf, the Tavern on the Wharf in Plymouth. Mm-hmm. That's on the 17th. So that's all the time, ladies. Thank you so much for coming in and being my co-hosts. We'll have to do this again.
I would love to do this again. Just a quick shout out to my son, Jack. I hope your homework's done. I'm on my way home.
Yes, you're in trouble. But wait, there's actually a 15-minute delay, and she's almost there.
Yeah.
No, that's all the show that we have until next week at 6:15 p.m. We got Stan and the Gang, South Shore Live, coming up next. Have a good night.
Thank you.